with your church is being led of the Lord to take on the men that you've taken on to help out. Our church helps a little bit, and we believe in those men. We believe that they're going to do a great work for the Lord, and we want to get behind those kind of missionaries, and we're thankful to the Lord for that. And I've always wanted to come to Paducah, but it's just, I felt like kind of like a nomad coming across Kentucky last night. I didn't think I'd ever get here, but the Lord got us here, and we're just thrilled to be with you and pray that the Lord might bless you. The books that you're selling here, T.P. Simmons was the pastor of the church that I pastored, Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, back in the 40s. And I think that's one of the best books there is on introducing somebody to theology. But one thing you got to remember about books, they're written by men. Here's the one right here that you should really spend a lot of time. I've read a lot of books, and I can't say I agree with all of them, except for the ones I've written. And even those now, I've come to see that there are some truths that are in the Word of God, and we're hoping to reprint Abandoned Truth and Teachings on a Local Church, maybe sometime in 2003 if there's enough interest. So if you would pray for us about those projects. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms chapter 103. Enjoyed all the godly music, the fellowship, and the good food that we've enjoyed. I appreciate that. I know it takes a lot of work that goes into a conference, and you are to be commended for doing it consistently, and we appreciate that. Psalm chapter 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Psalm 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to preach this afternoon a message entitled, Bless the Lord. Amen. Now in these five verses, we find the psalmist blessing and praising the Lord for all of his benefits and all of the blessings that he had received as an individual. And in these five verses, there are enough reasons to praise the Lord, to fill our hearts with worship and adoration for the rest of our days. We could park right here and expound on them day after day and meditate upon what the Lord has done in our lives. And I really believe that one of the greatest sins that we commit as God's people is the failure to offer praise unto the Lord on a day-by-day basis. We're often so consumed with the cares of this life that we forget about the abundance of blessings that our gracious Lord has bestowed. I got to get a piece of chili bean out of there before I go on any further. Has bestowed on our unworthy souls. And may God be pleased to reveal to our hearts very simple message this morning or this afternoon. First of all, the manner, and secondly, the motives for which we're to bless His holy name. Because the very reason that we're gathered here today is to exalt the Lord, to praise His name, to adore Him, to offer unto Him worship,
And we ought to do it out of a spirit that's been stirred by the grace and the power of God. And we ought to do it only according to truth.
Amen.
Those elements have to be present. Now, first of all, the manner in which we are to bless the Lord. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Our innermost being is to be employed in the sacred and the holy exercise of worship and praise. Now you think about this. In order to praise and offer praise unto God, the soul of man must be converted from fleshly lust by the power of the Word of God. See, in your original state, your soul was bent toward evil and toward the passions and fleshly lusts of this world. But when God made a difference in your spirit and He enabled you to hear the truth of the gospel, the Word of God converted your soul and changed it and turned it from the things of this world unto the things of God. And that's exactly what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So if you are going to worship God aright, your soul has had to have a work of grace by the power of God done in it. You know the reason why so many religious people just go through the motions of worship is because their soul has never been touched by the grace and the power of Almighty God. I'm talking about something that changes you forever. That's what the Word of God does. And that's the power. And that's why we ought to preach it. That's why when we get up to minister to God's people, we ought to do it from the law of the Lord, from the testimony of the Lord, from the statutes of the Lord, from the precepts of the Lord, because that's what's going to feed their soul.
Amen.
You know, Mary, after the announcements, you know what? She said, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Oh, that ought to be the goal. That ought to be the desire of everyone who's gathered here today. That as we come to receive the truth of God, that our souls will magnify the Lord.
Amen.
That He'll receive all the praise.
Amen.
That we'll look beyond the men that are delivering the message. All we are is waiters. We're just bringing the food to the table.
Amen.
And we ought to be praising the One who's inspired it and preserved it for us.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. I hope you came here this morning with your internal worship working.
Amen. Amen.
Now, notice something else. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We're talking about the manner in which we're to bless the Lord. He says, "And all that is within me." Man, that's powerful. All of our being is to be engaged in the pursuit of God, in the pursuit of pleasing the Lord. He didn't offer half-hearted worship. He says, "All that is within me, every fiber of my being, my soul, my spirit, my heart, my mind, my body, all of it's engaged in worshiping the One who alone is worthy of my worship and praise. All that is within me." I wonder how many times do we just offer half-hearted, and we just go through the motions, and we think, well, we got to go. And Brother Adams is famous for this. I'm stealing a little bit of his thunder. He talks about people who are just putting their time in. When we come to the house of God and as we live our day-to-day life, all that is within us, all that is about us, ought to be spent in service to our God, because we owe Him everything. David said in Psalm 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Do you get the picture there? He's like a deer that's running and running so hard that his tongue is dry and parched, and he longs for that time when he can bend down and drink deeply of the stream. Folks, we ought to pursue God like that. With all of our soul, with all of our being, exerting our energy in the pursuit of God and in pleasing Him. Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation." Verse 8, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him." God is a refuge for us. Amen. How about Psalm 119? Now you look at how he was engaged in seeking God. Time and again, the psalmist says that his whole being was engaged in the pursuit of knowing God and pleasing Him. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 2. "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." Look at verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." Verse 34. "Give me understanding and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Verse 36. "Incline my heart unto Thy testimonies and not to covetousness." I ask you this morning, where is your heart? Where's your soul? Is it engaged in seeking the Lord? How often do we serve the Lord half-heartedly? He deserves our very best. We are not to give God our leftovers. He is to have all of us at all times. And folks, listen, we are not to divide the sacred from the secular. All of life is sacred. All of what we are and what we're about ought to be spent in giving our reasonable service, presenting our bodies every day to the glory of God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." All my heart, I'm not going to be, let my heart be divided any longer. It's all going to be devoted to the glory of God. Amen. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said the two greatest commandments were? You like to take your coat off here? Okay. I was going to anyway. Now notice something else. Back to Psalm 103. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." We are to bless the name of the Lord. And you know, I love all the brethren that are preaching here, and I thank God for their messages and what the Lord's laid on their heart. But all of us are merely men who are desiring down deep in our hearts, as we proclaim the Word of God, that it will stir you to bless His name. Amen. To exalt Him and to praise Him and to honor Him with your life. We're to bless the name of the Lord. Now think about it. When you think of somebody's name, it identifies who they are. I mean, if you say Lonnie Bennett, immediately there's a mental picture of his character, his characteristics, maybe even his preaching style. Alright? When you think of somebody's name, and here he says that we are to bless the name, the holy name of God. When you think of somebody's name, you think of their characteristics. You think of their attributes. And if we're going to praise and bless the name of the Lord effectively, we need to think about who He is. Isn't it glorious that we can assemble and worship, listen to this title, the Most High God. Nobody's higher than He is. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. He is the Most High. Everybody is accountable to Him. He sits as a sovereign, majestic King. And we're to offer praise unto Him. He does as He pleases, when He pleases, how He pleases, and He doesn't need our permission. You know, if you ever, people think, well, if I don't do it, it won't get done. Listen, the Lord, it's kind of like one of your kids. You ever started painting something and you got one of your kids and you know that they want to help really bad, and you know they're going to make a mess of everything. So you give them a paintbrush and you put them over on one side where it really ain't going to make a whole lot of difference, and you say, go after it, man. And man, they're over there and they're slapping paint everywhere, probably got more on themselves than they do the building. And when it's all over, you go over and say, man, that you did a great job. Now, let's go give you a reward. I'm gonna go get you an ice cream for doing this work. And you know something? I think that's the way it is with us and the Lord. He gives us a little praise and He says, do what you can. And He's the one that energizes all of our efforts. And when it's all done, if we've been faithful, He rewards us for what He commanded us to do. Bless the name of the Lord. Do you realize that the one that we're devoted to has no sin, never has had a thought of sin? He is pure and righteous and holy. He is altogether lovely. There is no spot at all in God. God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. Oh, aren't you glad that we are united to someone who has no sin whatsoever? And He loves us so much that one day He's going to make us just like His beloved Son. The fairest jewel of heaven. He's going to make all of His jewels to resemble His only begotten Son. See why we ought to bless the name of the Lord? He's sovereign. He's powerful. Man, next time you start getting a little bit discouraged, why don't you just start thinking about the power of God? He spoke the world into existence. He said, let there be light, and light was. Man, when the children of Israel got in trouble, He split the Red Sea. They walked over dry side, kicking up dust. When they got to the other side and Pharaoh and his chariots of war were coming across, the same water that God parted to deliver His people, He used to dam and condemn the enemies of God. That's power! That's the kind of God that you and I have. Bless the name of the Lord. He's loving. He's gracious. It's always thrilled my heart to know that the God of all grace, who owns it all, would pick me out. In spite of everything He ever knew about me. He knows all things at once. God is not bound by time like you and I. In His mind, everything is one eternal. I mean, before ever anything existed, God was. Amen. And to think that before the foundation of the world, this loving God pitched His affection upon a wretch like me and determined to orchestrate everything that would bring about the very day I would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Bless the name of the Lord. If we're to bless the Lord, we have to be careful not to forget all of His benefits.
Amen.
And that's a series of messages. The benefits of the Lord. And you know what? If you're going to bless the name of the Lord in the right manner, it's going to take the power of concentration on your part. When you and I come to hear the preaching of the Word of God, we need to ask, Lord, make me like Lydia. Open my heart. Control my mind. Control my will. Take the powers of my concentration and let all of it be devoted entirely to You. And help me to soak it in. Help me that I may better know all of Your benefits. Because the better you know the benefit package, the better you will be able to take it to others. Oh, that our hearts would be filled with gratitude. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 4, the psalmist says this, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Psalm 77 in verse 5. "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent to search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more?" Notice, he said, my heart made a diligent search to remember all of His benefits. Now, that brings us to the next point. The motives for blessing the name of the Lord. And several of them are right in our text. Turn back to Psalm chapter 103. I like it when the Lord outlines my sermon for me. By the way, wasn't it, Brother Brooks, wasn't that? That was an outline, brother. You know what? He preached that in one sermon. I'm going to make a series out of that. Yeah, I'm going to preach a series. I took one page in notes. That's going to last me for a month. And I love those kind of outlines. Now, what are the motives? Look what he says here in verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities."
Amen.
You want a motive why you ought to bless the name of the Lord and exalt Him with all of your being? Think about what you are, what you've been, and where you would be without the grace of God. I was 21 years of age before I had ever heard physically, with my ears, even physically, the message of the gospel. You young people, thank God for the benefits you have of being raised in homes that believe the Bible, by parents that love the Lord and want to serve Him and praise Him. You ought to thank God every day for that, whether you're lost or whether you're saved.
Amen. Yeah.
You ought to bless His name for that privilege.
Amen.
I know what I was. And when I begin to think of what I was, it amazes me that God would forgive somebody like me. He forgives all our iniquities. Not many, Not some, but all are forgiven in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through the power of His redeeming blood. Now you may not have lived the life that I did before I was saved, but I tell you what, self-righteousness will give you a deep stain of sin just as much as anything else out in this world. You ought to thank God for His forgiving grace. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Do you realize that our sins were mounting up to heaven and the law of God just said, you are condemned, guilty, no good, abominable, filthy. That's our original condition. But grace came in the power of Christ's blood, and grace shouted to those mountains of sins, grace, grace be unto it, and they're all taken away. They're not just covered. They've been put away forevermore. Because when Jesus came, when He died, it was the final sacrifice, never again to be repeated. And when He did it, He put away our sins. That's why we can say there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How glorious is that? Wouldn't you say that's a benefit, a motive? You think about what you deserve, an eternity in the lake of fire with the wrath of God billowing over your head, your soul, your body for all eternity with absolutely no parole or reprieve. That's what you deserve. Yet Jesus Christ willingly, voluntarily came and suffered in our stead and was beaten and bloodied and hated and spat upon. But He went even a step further than physical sufferings. He went to the cross. And there He bared His soul as a sacrifice for our sin. And the transaction was so holy that God caused the earth to quake and the entire earth to go black. Because Jesus Christ was there bearing our sin in His body on the tree, suffering the equivalent of what each one of His elect would have suffered for their sins. All who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Spurgeon said, when God forgives, He forgives like Himself. The source, the channel, the power, and the standard of forgiveness are all divine. When God cancels a man's sins, He does so in accordance to the measure in which Christ bore those sins. Now Christ not only bore some or many of the believer's sins, He bore them all. Therefore, He forgives them all. God's forgiveness stretches to the length of Christ's atonement, and Christ's atonement stretches to the length of every one of the believer's sins, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Ultimately, all of our sins are forgiven in Christ. Now notice something else, and this kind of goes along with it. But when we talk about forgiveness, oftentimes we focus on justification. That initial forgiveness, but it continues on. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the forgiveness carries on into healing. Look what it says there, who healeth all thy diseases. Now the charismatics have a big time with this, and Baptists are afraid to preach on it. Alright? You know what? I believe this is true.
Amen.
He's already dealt positionally with the biggest disease I got, and that's depravity. And He carries that work of dealing with the disease of sin in sanctification as He takes the power of His Spirit and His Word and begins delivering me from the very power of sin. It's a healing process. It's a cleansing process that the Word of God does in every child of God.
And you know, it's a spiritual healing and physically in the secondary sense.
If any of you have been sick in the last year and you're sitting here in good health, God healed you. And you didn't need to go to Benny Hinn or any of the rest of those birds and have their hands laid on you. All you need is the hand of God. And you know what? He is going to deliver, He is going to heal you of all your diseases. It may be here temporarily, or it may be there forever, but He will heal you of all your diseases. Because one day, we are all going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and He has no disease.
You think about what we were before we were saved. Isaiah describes us as being unfit from head to toe, like an open sore. Yet God heals by His grace. He's changed our heart. He's changed our will, our mind. And I thank God He infringed on my will. And that He made me willing in the day of His power. I was bent toward evil. If He would not have divinely intervened, I would still be on the broad road of destruction. Do you know what He did? He came to where I was. He lifted me up out of the miry pit. And He lifted me off the broad road and put me on the straight and narrow.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Notice something else. It says in verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." That's all. We deserve to be eternally destroyed in the lake of fire. Isn't that what the gospel delivers us from? Isn't that what Paul told the church at Thessalonica? And if you're unsaved here this morning, if you remain in that condition, and you don't repent of your sins, and you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you continue your rejection of the gospel of the grace of God, you will be damned for an eternity. Somebody says, well, you shouldn't scare people. Why not? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Hell is real. People are there right now. The Bible says, "And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power." But you know what God's done? He's redeemed us from the terror of that destruction because Jesus took it for us. The wrath that we deserved, He took it. The sin that should have damned us for an eternity, He took it. The penalty that we owe, He blotted it out. He redeemed us from the terrors of hell. Tell you, before I was saved and the Lord began to deal with me, there was not a day that went by that my heart was not heavy with the idea that if I died that day, I was going to split hell wide open. It was made real to me. And oh, how I praise Him for the day when He not only redeemed my soul, but He redeemed my life.
He changed me forever. And if He's redeemed your soul, He's redeemed your life. Devote it to Him. How thankful you ought to be part of the Lord's church here. That's a life redemption. To be part of the Lord's work in His church where He receives glory. And then notice what it says. He not only redeemed our life from destruction, but it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Amen.
Bless the Lord for making you a king and a priest. Because at one time, you were on the refuse, the dung heap of your own iniquity.
Amen.
You were a stench in the nostrils of God. You were an enemy of God, a rebel against His laws, in defiance against His government. God changed you. And it's not enough that He lifts you out of the pit and the sin and the stench that you were in. No, He lifts you up, cleans you up, and He crowns you with His loving kindness and with His tender mercies. Isn't it a blessing when you're in the house of God and the man of God is bringing a message and your heart's stirred and you're thrilled and you thank God for the truth? That's His mercy. I'll never forget, right after I was saved, my old friends were having a big shindig and they said, well, why don't you come? I said, I can't. I've been saved. I know Jesus Christ, my Lord. And as I was driving along, I started thinking, man, I should be in the same condition that they're in. I had just been saved. I didn't know anything. I hadn't read the Bible in my life. And that day, I began to realize God is the one who made the difference. God changed my heart and He crowned me with His loving kindness. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be loved by your family and by your children and by brethren. Boy, it's an amazing thing to be loved by God.
Amen.
To have the most wonderful, gracious, important, and sovereign person in all of the universe say, I love you. I love you so much that I have sent my Son to die in your place, and I've sent my Spirit to ensure that you will come. That is great loving kindness. You know what happens when these motives start getting in your heart and you begin to worship and you begin to exalt the Lord? Look what He says. As He reflected in verse 5, He said, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like eagles. Isn't it a joy to know that you're satisfied with good things now? Not the things of this world, but now you're satisfied by the power, the presence, the meditation of God Himself. I'm so thankful that the Lord changed my tastes so that I would be satisfied with good things. Psalm 17, verse 15, He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness.
Amen.
Folks, bless the Lord with all that's in you, with all of your soul. You know what? There's coming a grand and a glorious day when He's going to split the skies and say, come up hither! And we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be taking our place around the throne throne of God with all the blood-washed saints arrayed in spotless white, lifting up our voices and blessing the name of the Lord. He is coming. And I hope it's today. You come.
He doesn't preach. I won't hear him when he does. Amen. I like that passage myself. I may not always be able to say it like that, but forget not all his benefits. No wonder Psalmist said, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And it just gets better all the time. All right, we're thankful. Let's stand. Let's, Brother Wilbert, come and sing a verse or two verses of a song of invitation. There may be lost people among us. And if you're here and you're not saved and the Lord has spoken to your heart, we'd rejoice with you today if you'd come to know Christ as your Savior. This is the Bible conference, but it's evangelistic as well. And you can experience what Brother Ross has described. Can you trust Christ today? Be saved? Know Him? You can know all that Brother Tom described are your benefits if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. While we sing, we need a piano player. Okay. Got a volunteer. Okay, come on. We got one. Okay. 380.